God be with you.
And also with you.
Na Vyacheslav. It's Ukraine. Greetings. On Sunday, I had the opportunity and honor to share with you a reflection on the text of Psalm 130. It was a reminder to me, and I hope you will appreciate the importance of praise God as well as why we should do it. The book of Psalms ends with the commandment to praise God. I love book of Psalms. In it I find all that in myself I myself feel. In it I see good God whom I can know and understand. In the book of Psalms, I see the true face of real people who are have joy and want to sing and dance, scream from pain and fear, but still singing, having such huge problems that they curse their enemies, but they sing to God. People who teach about God and devote song to Him. I see those who have sinned and are weeping before God. This book, where everything revolves around God, even when the author say, God, where are you? In the book of Psalms, there is an incredible combination of God and man, but throughout it all, in the center is God and man, acknowledge God's majesty and glorifies and hope in God. In no other book of the Old Testament do we find such a bright, figurative, personal face in the Lord as revealed in the book of the Psalms. We find in the immortal response of human hearts to the revelation of God about Himself. Their prayers and song in the book of Psalms were addressed to all age, and this book, like the interbible, will never be forgotten. The words of the book of Psalms sounded from the mouths of believers at the great divine service and were whispered when alone with God. Calvin said, reading this inspirational text carefully, people will be sensitive to spiritual illness that show up in their hearts. At the same time, people will be taught where to look of medication to treat them. I won't ask you, some of you come here and I won't ask you please stand up and read together the text of first Psalm. But I need help somebody for read this Psalm.
First Psalm?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen. This psalm opens the book of Psalms. This psalm begins with the word blessed and the end with the word perish. The first psalm is a very good start for this incredible book. In the text, we see two ways that have a simple and understandable characteristic. the path that God knows, the path of those who perish. Whether we like it or not, in life there are only two ways, with God or against Him. The first is the path of righteousness and goodness, the second way is evil. There is even a heretical theory that God will save everyone and nobody perishes, but I simply cannot understand what then the author and followers of this theory do with this text. It is unmistakable, those who are God's people are with God, and they have grounds for joy and salvation. Out there will die. There is no third option. Speaking about the book of Psalms, one can find the Psalms joy, grief, wisdom, and so on. The first Psalm is educational. It teaches us that there are two ways and about the action of those paths the Lord knows and who do not perish. This psalm has practically implication because it clearly shows what I or anyone can do to follow the path that God knows. This is the path that will bring pleasure both to God and to us. For even sinful people know happy daddy, happy children. This psalm is about the role of God's law in human life. It is the law of God, or rather, the attitude of man to God, which recognizes the righteousness or godless of man. This psalm describes a person who lives a happy life and describes what his actions are. Describing the blessed happy man, the author contacts him with a person who is godless. The author contrasts two ways of thinking, two ways of world views. Godlessness and truth. In addition, he calls righteousness happiness. But it should be noted that there is not contradiction between the material and the spiritual, between those and affairs. And there is also this heresy, the opposition of the materials and the spiritual, where the first is the evil and the second is good. I especially feel the senselessness of this heresy is this camp where if there is good food, delicious drink, an incredible ocean, and amazing people. It is all physical and it brings pleasure and arouses to desire to say, thank you God for your love which is begin show to me in such simple good material things. Let us remember that He not only give us the world, but Himself. And we can enjoy His gift is His present, which is much better than just enjoy His gifts. Our world is God's gifts. This world is created for the glory of God. Our lives are full of God's gifts and enjoy them. We are glorify God. The happiness that is spoken of in this psalm is real and it is in God. Or rather, when we fulfill His will, we live and His creation and the world created by Him for His glory and enjoy His gifts. Happiness and pleasures are only in abstains to God. Adam listening to God was happy only after he listened to the voice of another where he and all around him crushed. But kind and merciful God started the story of redemption to give us the happiness for which we were created. The psalm is about true happiness appear when we, His children, obey and fulfill His law. The structure of this psalm very clear. First three verses, description to the blessed man, what he has to do and what the consequence will be. Verse 4 is about a godless and judgment as consequence for his life. And last six verses in conclusion and the final compression and contrast between the righteousness and the godless. Blessed is the word with which the text of Psalm begins. We find the same word on the Sermon of the Mount which Jesus used. In verse 3 through 11, Jesus used this word 9 times. Each commandment begins with the description of those who are written about in the first psalm. Blessed is the word has a wide and deeper meaning than just a happy one. It involves happiness, but it is more, because blessed a person who accepts special grace and mercy from God. There are three clear instructions about what we should not do, which are standard as evidence by the example of the life of the blessed man. The whole psalm is built on the opposite, and therefore is the author writes what the blessed man does not do and ends with what he does do. The first, who walks not in the counsel to wicked or godless. Second, nor stand in the way of sinners. Third, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And fourth, he delight in the love of the Lord, and on his love, and on his law, he meditates day and night. The author of the psalm, Clary, give us the characteristic of those who are not representative of the kingdom, the Christ, the Church of Christ, and say that is not where we should be. Scoffers are evil. Those in whom the truthful way of living for God commandments only causes ridicule. The author teach us that we do need to sit with such people so that we do not succumb to their influence. And that is why it is a good question for us. Is the company we have a good influence on our way of life? Are they laugh at the way we live? It is difficult for a person to withstand the pressures of society and the group of people to which it belongs. And if this group is scarfing in the righteous way of life, then we are in dangers. Apostle Paul speaks to Corinthians, to Christian in Corinth, says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." The next, what we see on this psalm's counsel, who are our advisors? To whom to go for advice? Are those who advise us blessed? Of course, I am not talking about household tips. It happens that the most reputable masters of the house repairs doesn't not know the church or is even Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, and it's not big deal. But I am talking about advice about the way of life, about how to live in this world, about trying to cast God out of the agenda. Advisors for education, family, friends, who is our advisor? Therefore, there is very clear characteristic of the person who is not blessed. This psalm shows us clear contrast the godless and is against the word of God, which means against Christ himself. But it would have been easy if the second verse was, what is the pleasure for us? What we do think about? Are our thoughts about ourselves or about life, which is His Word? His commandments, the reflection of His will and His character. They are not given to us to be bronzement of limiting, but to give mercy. His commandments are mercy. We clearly know what we can do to fulfill His will so that our life journey will be known to Him. This is His word and His commandments. I mean this, we can do what is necessary and have a good outcome. Our counsel is the triune God. He spoke about the main things we need to be blessed. Next, the author draw judicial picture. If His word is pleasant to us and in our minds, then we are like a tree planted beside streams of water. The Bible is His word, a book that speaks of creation, the fall and salvation. Of course, all this is for His glory, but in all of this incredible love. These are His words. They testify of Him, of who our God is. Therefore, His attitude, the attitude towards His word, is the attitude towards Him. The love of God as whole symbolizes His will. It seems to me that this text is similar to what God says in the Garden of Eden. You may eat this, but do not eat this. And from the book of Genesis, we know about the consequence, because we see how man did not obey. Did the part of someone who listened to the advice of another perish? We all know this answer. Is He love our decide, our will? Later, the Apostle John, under the controls of the Holy Spirit, writes, By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Next, what we see in these psalms, meditates. Meditates, His love is what is constantly on my lips. It is also what in my head, with which I constantly check. What I think about, because there are important commandments, and I do something every day and every minute. We have to compare our action with His words. It is important to note that this should be a nature process. When I spend time in His word, it seems to live in me, and then I go to Him for counsel and heed Him. The behavior has consequence, and the author say about this. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And the result is like a tree that has a powerful supply, fruit, and this fruit is timely, leaves that do not fade. We see an image of a tree that has such an environment that is has the ability to grow and fulfill its role in the world. This tree is the image of person who is under God's control. Remember the Apostle Peter. Every time he did not listen to God, he cut off someone's ears, almost reminded duty, unwashed and hungry, and eventually when he was close to Jesus, he heard, feed his sheep. Another great example of such a person in Joseph in Egypt. Everything in his life had its time, and he was faithful to his God. His obedience to God brought results. The Israelite people, and not only himself, were saved. And we can find many such examples in the Bible. The author continues and says that in this case, this is a person who is successful in everything he does. Well, of course, he does what he does according to God's will. Of course, when you read and listen to the question comes up, and what about the righteousness sufferings? Can't a righteousness person suffer? But the answer is from Job. This book is worth reading and figuring out, and science, I have another goal for today, and I have an opportunity to speak about Job. I will just remind you about one verse from this book. It's first chapter 22. In all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Spurgeon says, sinner cannot live in heaven. They would feel out of place there. Rather, the fish could live on a tree than the wicked in paradise. Heaven for any unrepentant person would be an unbearable hell, even if he were allowed to enter. But no one stubborn in lovelessness has won such an honor. May God give us a name and abode the place of heaven. The author continues his comparison, the righteousness and is an incredible tree. The sinner is also a plant, or what is left of it. The author depicts the goodness is the debris left after the harvest of grain. Empty, unnecessary. It is horrible image. You are nothing. You are nobody. You are an empty space. No one needs you. It's all about this. The basis of life is God's commandments. How can we see love for God? You can't send God a card with hearts, and you don't give him flowers because they already belong to him. But we can see love for God through the fulfillment of the commandments. This is what the Apostle John speaks about, and we call him to mind. every atheist will be conceived and will not be able to resist in judgment of the righteousness. Even if he tried to justify himself, he would not be able to. No liars, no lawyers will be able to protect anyone who does not obey God's commandment, who goes against God, who seeks salvation outside of Christ. Anyone who does not obey the love of God is commandment. The reason for losing is disobedience to God and the desire to listen to someone else. Speaking of this, let's remember His mercy and the possibility of punishment. It does not give us the right to sin, but free us from sin. In the end, God knows our sin, and therefore the life of Christian is the life of repentance. Several times we have sung this classic Kyrie Eleison together, a somewhat unusual for me but beautiful sound. Lord, have mercy on me. Hear a word that we must never forget. The Lord knows the way of righteousness. These are incredible strong words that are full of hope. He knows our path and cares about us. He knows everything we need and even how much hair is on our head. He takes care of us more than lilies of the field. Sometimes it's very easy for me understand this image. For example, now, I am in a foreigner country, far from home. I have little understanding, I know. But I know that there are those who care and can calmly come to my rescue. At home, this is not always the case. Now I just live and enjoy. Thank you all for take care of me and the camp and in your country. You are incredible people. But the last word of this psalm are about death. The way of the goodless will perish. It is a hope for truth. I don't know about you, but sometimes I will see the death of the godless every time I read about the death of people during the war that continues in Ukraine, when I read about the death of people in hospital or construction site because of corruption, when I meet with unpredictability, I ask God about my own life, well, how much longer? But the author of Psalm clearly says, the way of the godless will perish. The godless will not die, but his way will die. The righteousness writes his name on the rock, the godless in the sand. And the righteous and the godless will reap a harvest. One, eternal joy, another eternal suffering. Our obedience and attitude to His word determines our path. May the Lord clean our hearts, and His word will be with us. Amen.